Hello, friends. How are we today? Okay. Is it still raining out? Well, it's not raining in here. All right. I'm glad that you're here. Let's take this opportunity to dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. And we complete our work in Titus today. We're going to read Titus 3, 12 to 15. Now, a little caveat, the word here, and what's interesting when we read scripture publicly, you can always tell where there's a name of a person or a city that nobody wants to touch with a 10-foot pole, because it'll start like this. When I send Artemis, and then it gets to you. So the word is Tychicus. Say it with me. Tychicus, and he's going to Nicopolis. There we go. So now you got it all. I mean, Nicopolis, it's your kind of place. What are you going to say? All right, so let's read together. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Awesome. That's a good word. Grace be with you all. We have been learning throughout the series about God's desire to build character in each one of us. And we've been reading this letter. The letter's between Paul, who arguably the greatest missionary of all time, missionary to the entire ancient world, between Paul and his student or disciple Titus. And he says to Titus at the very beginning of this teaching series, you're my true child in the common faith. And that word true is an important one. It means authentic, genuine, legit. How does Titus become a legit son or daughter of God? By faith in Jesus. And what we've learned is that as we become sons and daughters of God, we gain the character of Christ, a character that calls us to be teachers of truth, leaders to the lost, connected in our community, and doers of good doctrine and having good deeds. Where do we go from here? Well, that might just be the toughest of all, and I think we got it in our scripture today. We wait for Nicopolis. We wait for Nicopolis. What is Nicopolis? Well, it's a city. And it's a city on the Adriatic Sea in Greece. And there at Nicopolis, the city was actually founded in 31 BC by some people that you might have heard of. Caesar Augustus had a great military battle with a guy named Mark Antony. Sound familiar? And Mark Antony lost. Sorry, Mark. And so Mark Antony and Cleopatra would flee from Nicopolis later to go to Egypt, where they would die. Nicopolis was kind of a happening place. It had temples to the god Neptune, which would be god of the sea, and also the god Mars, who was the god of war. It was a place of heavy trade and commerce. And every 4 years in Nicopolis, they would have a great festival, which was a whole lot like the Olympics, or what we know as the Olympics now. So Nicopolis was a happening place. The best part about Nicopolis was, if you ever wanted a winter getaway spot, this was it. The temperatures were always mild, kind of 60 degrees, you know, the kind of place where you could wear pants or shorts and just enjoy the weather. Kind of, I'd love to have a nice fall getaway today. I'm thinking of Nicopolis. Not much rain, you know. Nobody else is with me? Is anybody else a little bit sad that fall is coming? Okay, well, quit praying for fall to come more quickly and let me hang on to the heat of summer. Because I guarantee you in about 10 weeks, everybody's going, it's so cold, I don't understand. Well, you prayed for it. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, Nicopolis is a great place to go. You would want to winter there. And Paul has told Titus, I want you to meet me at Nicopolis and we'll winter there together. Now, why am I telling you about Nicopolis? Well, there's two reasons. One, I think Titus was looking forward to the day he was going to be with Paul again and spend the winter there and get off the island of Crete and all the craziness of ministry and everything else that he was doing. And two, this part of the letter is typically glanced over. Most of the time when we read Paul's writings, you'll start with the beginning, and by the time you get to the last chapter, which he usually gives some kind of salutation or conclusion to the letter, everybody just skips over it. And they go, okay, well, yeah, he's saying bye-bye and grace is good and all that kind of stuff. But there's something to be learned here. I noticed that in all of the resources I consulted for this teaching series, there were very few commentators who offered any commentary on this part of the letter, and it got me thinking. You know, if the ancient church cared enough about what Paul wrote in these last few verses to include them in Scripture, surely there has to be something here for us. So why do we glance over it? There's got to be something here, and I think that there is. See, I think everybody has a Nicopolis in their life. Everybody's looking to get somewhere. And whether it's through the week, having a better marriage, or having your kids graduate school, maybe it's to the next promotion you want for your job, maybe it's finishing something in your education. Whatever it is, everybody has that place in their life that they're looking forward to going, and they're not quite there yet. Has anybody else felt that way lately? I'm looking to get somewhere, and I'm not there yet. That's Nicopolis. Nicopolis is actually called the City of Victory. Everybody wants to get to that place of victory in their life, but I'm not quite there yet. And the question is, how do we get there? What are we going to do in the mission? In the meantime, rather. See, the hard part about Nicopolis is that you have to finish your work at Crete first. Right? Titus had a call. He was called to the Cretan people. It was a call that nobody in this place today would want. Hey, how about you go hang out with mercenaries, traitors, and people of low character for your life? Who's in? I mean, Titus probably felt like he got a little ripped off when it came to pastoral appointments. But he had some work to finish at Crete before he could go to the City of Victory. And that's just like us in our lives. Everybody has a City of Victory they're looking forward to, but there's work and there's mission that keeps us at Crete. And let's not mince any words. Cretan Christianity is hard. It's a grind. It's what's common. It's not spiritually moving. It's not exciting. It's study and prayer. It's worship and inviting and giving and serving. It's what happens day after day. It kind of looks like the guy on the left. Now, Nicopolitan Christianity, everybody loves that. It's the mountaintop. It's the fireworks. It's the God speaking into my life. It's the I have some kind of new understanding or knowledge, or God has revealed himself to me in some awesome, beautiful, unimaginable kind of way. Everybody loves Nicopolitan Christianity. I mean, we want to get back to the mountaintop. And people leave churches. They leave ministries. They check out of their Bible or whatever because God hasn't shown up. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, life at Nicopolis is rare. You'll have some mountaintop experiences in your journey of faith, but for the most part, it's going to be life on Crete. It's going to be mundane. It's going to feel boring. Nicopolitan Christianity is exciting, but our experience, guys and gals, is much more like Cretan Christianity. So what do we do in those moments where it feels boring or mundane, or we ask, is God moving? Is God aware of what's going on in my life? Why do I feel stuck? Why aren't I moving to the place of victory? Well, see, that's the place where character is developed. Not on the mountaintop, but down in the valley. I'd love for you to reflect for just a couple of moments. Do you feel like you're currently in a season of Nicopolitan, exciting fireworks, big moments with God kind of Christianity? Or has it been a Cretan season for you? Mundane, boring, wondering, is God moving? Is God working in my life? And why? Let's do that. We'll reflect for a few moments. So, Nicopolitan or Cretan, how many? It's exciting time in your life. Okay, how many? Mundane and boring. I thought this is kind of how it would go. Good for you for being honest. Some of you didn't want to respond. That's okay. You're still loved. In the middle. There's always the middle, people. Yeah, right? Which day is it? Okay, good. Yeah, right? It kind of changes. Yep. Absolutely. There are a variety of seasons in our life with God. You know, Paul wrote this before his journey to Nicopolis. It might have been summer, it could have been fall, but the words are pretty clear. He says, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer," who we all know, right? That's a joke. "And Apollos on their way. Whew. See that they lack nothing." It's a tough crew today. All right, hang in there. It's a little Cretan in here. Zenas the hammer. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I want you to notice this, these words, "see that they lack nothing." It's called hospitality. See that they lack nothing. So really what Paul is saying to Titus, bear with me for a minute, is, hey, I want you to babysit these guys. How many people are in for that? Doesn't sound exciting. Doesn't sound like fireworks Christianity, does it? And yet hospitality is one of the key functions of the early church. It's what drew people in. It was the deed that drew people in to hear about the good doctrine. I'm referring back to last week here. People said there's something weird about these Christians. They love each other. They're willing to accept a stranger from the Netherlands or wherever they came from, and they're going to love them, care for them, feed them, clothe them, the whole bit. It's like Jesus said this or something. "For I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me." Brothers and sisters, legit character doesn't happen in the season of fireworks. It doesn't happen in Nicopolis Christianity. It doesn't happen when you winter in beautiful places with your buddies. It's celebrated there. It's celebrated there. But it happens through the daily grind of life on Crete. I mean, anybody here ever been blessed by great hospitality? Right? You go somewhere and they take great care of you and the food is good and the conversation is great and it's like you're being pampered over and over and over again. Let me ask you, it was great for you. Do you think it was great for all the people providing the hospitality for you? Maybe. Maybe not. They probably had to do some work, right? There were probably some time in your stay there where they thought, okay, I only got two more days to make it. Or this is a grind, but you know, I love Jesus, and so I'm going to do this. Yeah, absolutely. Grace isn't always exciting, but it is life-changing. Grace is not always exciting, but it is life-changing. Our character isn't shaped in the exciting times as much as it is in the mundane. And people, I think all too often we look at what's the big thing that's going to change the world, what's the big thing that's going to change my life, and really it's a whole lot of little things. It's the little things that change the world. It's the little things that change your life. It's reading scripture and praying each day. It's going and loving your neighbors, inviting them in for dinner. It's spending time in a retirement community playing games with the residents. It's reading to a child. It's the little things. It's not the big ones. None of these things are super exciting, change the world kind of moments, but they change people's lives. And they change your lives. It's not fireworks. It's not red balloons and rainbows. Grace isn't always exciting, but it is life-changing. It's part of the grind that Titus had on Crete. Look at the scripture. It says, "And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." What's interesting is most people in the next 3 months or so are going to want to serve in some capacity in our community. Soup kitchens are the fullest November and December. Everybody wants to go serve in November and December because it's Thanksgiving and it's Christmas. And you can call it white guilt or whatever you want, but this is what motivates people. So I'm going to go serve in November and December. Do you know when the soup kitchens actually need your help? May. Yeah, even February is great because then it cuts off. It cuts off. This word devotion, devote, is a powerful, powerful word. You know, it suggests repeated action, direction, care, concern, aid, devotion. Not when you feel like it, but when you don't. Not when it's exciting and filled with fireworks, but when it's mundane and boring. It's like God's character. I want you to think for a moment of all of the systems that God keeps going on a daily basis. Gravity's a big one, right? Photosynthesis, we're breathing right now because of that one. All of these systems that exist in the world, God keeps them going on a daily basis. He's devoted to keeping life as we know it going. Do you think that's always exciting for God? Do you think he goes, all right, man, we're going to have gravity keep going today? Maybe he is, I don't know. But he does it. Why? Because he's devoted out of love to each one of us. And it's the same for us. Right? Devotion, constancy, consistency. Sometimes we get so consumed with our Nicopolis, with our victory, with what's coming, with the future, that we miss what's happening right here and now. And while it looks boring and mundane, God is at work in an amazing way to build character in each one of us. There was a monk who learned this. His name was Brother Lawrence. In the 1600s, he was a monk in France. And if you've ever been to a monastery, you know these guys work pretty hard. And part of their job is to do stuff in the kitchen, in the garden, everywhere else. Well, Brother Lawrence did not like doing dishes. Anybody else here like Brother Lawrence already? Absolutely. You know, I mean, throw them in the dishwasher, put the pot scrubber on, hope it all works out. Brother Lawrence did not like doing dishes, and the head of the monastery got a hold of this, and so what was Brother Lawrence going to do? Dishes. He said that doing dishes was boring and mundane. It was not as exciting as worship or writing or all these other different things. And so the head of the monastery puts him on dish duty, and what Brother Lawrence learned over the next years of his life was that whether he was doing mundane, boring tasks or tasks that the world perceives as great, God's presence is present in all of the moments. In fact, there's some great work that you can read called Practicing the Presence of God. It's written by Brother Lawrence. I would encourage you to do that in your own personal time. But he learned that God is present in all of these moments, and in the moments where we think God is not working, God may in fact be working the most in our lives. Because it's not exciting. Because we're not saying, wow, look at me, post it to Facebook or whatever else. It seems boring, but God is very much at work. And he understood that all time, regardless of whether it was washing pots and pans or spending time in prayer, all time was God's time. Jesus was the same way. Did you ever realize the majority of the Gospels we read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the majority of those Gospels, it's something like 65% or so, are detailing the last 7 days of his life. We don't hear much about the 33 years of his life, do we? I mean, sure, we get some snippets here and there about how he healed a paralyzed man or how he put mud on the eyes of a blind man, but for the most part, we don't hear about Jesus' 33 years of life. It kind of tells me that there were a lot of mundane days in Jesus' life, days in which he must have said, Dad, I mean, come on, really? Can we get the show on the road? Why? Because Jesus shows us a model of constancy, devotion, faithfulness, character. Jesus wasn't just great for what he did the last 7 days of his life. Jesus was great for what he did all of his life. And it's a model of faithfulness for each one of us. You see, what Titus is telling us this morning is that legit character doesn't magically appear during the firework moments. It's developed during the daily grind. And I would love for you, as you're trying to think about in your own life, where's that place of victory? Where's that city of victory? Where's my Nicopolis? What's that next milestone I'm trying to get to? I would love for you to consider Those of you who feel like this is a mundane, boring grind in your life, I would love for you to consider this. God is up to something great. God's up to something great in your life. You might not see it. You might not feel it. You might not know it. He might not have given you some massive revelation of here's what I'm up to, but he is at work. God's at work in your life. And my encouragement is this. Join him. Join him. It might not feel like fireworks. I don't know about you. I would skip the fireworks and just know that somehow God was at work and present in my life and relish that. I love this next hymn we're going to sing. It's an oldie but a goodie, as they say. And what it reminds me every time I sing it is that in every season of our lives, God is at work. And God is offering fresh grace. My hope is you'll see that this morning. Let's stand. We'll sing and worship together. We give you thanks, O God, that your grace is always active, present, working in our lives. Sometimes we just don't see it. And God, whether it's in moments of celebration that we've arrived at a new place of victory, or it's in seasons of the mundane and boring, God, we know that you're at work. Pray that you'd help us see that work and join you in that work and realize that whether we're like Titus and on Crete and in the grind of daily life, or we're the Titus that's at Nicopolis and soaking and enjoying life in the presence of God, that you're here with us. Fill us to overflowing. Direct our paths and help us be led by you. We pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus, and the people of God said, amen. Please have a seat. This teaching series, we started with this question: what character defect or flaw in your life might be discrediting your witness for Christ? And I wonder, what is God up to? Are you being led somewhere? Are you changing? Are you growing? You know, the hard thing about teaching series like these is that they awaken us to the possibility of change, but they don't always give us 100% of the concrete steps to get there. How do we get to the place of victory? So I would love if Micah would come and share a bit of her own victory that she's experienced, and even more so the steps that have led her to that place. Micah?
I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I have struggled with a lot. Hi. Since the beginning of time, it seems that men and women have searched for happiness, but usually in all the wrong ways and trying all the wrong things. I know I have, and I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in this room. When I started my journey with the CR leadership team 2.5 years ago, I was already 18 months sober. I was sober, but I was hurting. And I wanted a better life. I was struggling with depression, anger, a new divorce, PTSD, nightmares, unforgiveness, lack of trust, lack of joy and happiness. And the list could go on and on. But I knew that deep down inside, God's will for my life was something much better than being sober but still suffering. Within these actual walls, Celebrate Recovery has given me not only a safe place to come and admit my struggles, work through my struggles, a loving community that can assure me that I am not alone, but it has given me freedom from all of those things that I listed before. Now, my life is not perfect, and I still have struggles, but CR still gives me a place that I can come weekly and work through my struggles and deal with them before they become something so big that causes me to turn back to all those wrong things. So I have a question for you all. Are you struggling? Struggling with a mundane, boring Christianity? Anger, fear, worry, grief, loneliness, overindulgence. Do you feel stuck? Do you know that the life you're living right now, it's okay, but you deserve better? Do you feel like you deserve that exciting faith? And if so, please know that we've been praying for you for a long time. We just pray that you listen to that gentle nudging every single time we mention CR in this place. I know it's a lot. It's for a reason. Jesus tells us that you don't have to live your life suffering. Change can be yours, but the pathway to that happiness may not be what you expected or what you think. Now, I know that there are some folks in this room that have joined us at CR that have seen change and experienced that change in their life, and I would just ask if you are here, if you could please stand for a moment. There was more last service. Okay, thank you. So, if you all that feel that nudging, and I know you do. I mean, come on, we're human, right? So if you feel that and you're ready to give up that fear, because a really great guy told me one time, on the other side of fear is freedom. So face it, get over it, come join us as we join Jesus in the revolution of transforming lives. We would love to have you. Also, if you would just like to support us, we need support. We need prayer. We need people to offer to bring us meals. We need people to come on Wednesday and just to sing and worship and pray with us and let us know that we are supported and we are loved. I would love to see every single one of you here next Wednesday. We'll feed you at 6:30. We'll watch your kids from 7 to 9, and we'll worship from 7:15 to 8:15. Thank you.
Thank you, Micah. You know, Celebrate Recovery is a great pattern of discipline to lead you towards that city of victory. And that's what Nicopolis means, city of victory. How do you get there? You get there every day, one day at a time. And it's one of the great processes that is here in our community. And a lot of people think Celebrate Recovery is just for drug and alcohol related problems. It is not. It is for everything problems. And so if you have an issue, if you have a struggle, if you're staying stuck, if you wonder how am I ever going to get to a place of victory in my life, Celebrate Recovery is for you. You know, Titus, he was waiting to reconnect with Paul in Nicopolis, but there was still work to be done on Crete. And that grind is the place where character is built. And sometimes church, we can feel like we're in that grind. You know, you wonder what's next, where are we going, where we're headed, and people get frustrated along the way and they think, well, I need a different church or we need a different program or a different idea or something new and fresh and exciting. And really what we're seeking is fireworks. We want a firework moment. That's not where character is built, brothers and sisters. Character is built in the daily grind. And our daily grind is very simple. We have three core purposes: reveal, resurrect, and release. You're doing reveal, whether you know it or not, right now. It happens in worship, where God reveals his love to us. Resurrect is the place we experience new life, and that new life happens in a small group. Worship is great, but new life happens in a small group. And we experience God's resurrection power. We experience new life as we study and as we grow in community with other people. And as we experience that new life, we can't help but want to release it to other people. And that's our third core purpose. That's where we serve and where we give. And our final piece is we invite other people to take that journey of revolution in their own lives. as they experience it for themselves. This pattern, this discipline, that's what the daily grind is all about, and we keep going. We keep going, not just because Christ calls us to, not because it always feels great. We keep going because we know there's victory out there. And that's where God is calling us. And you know, if you want to experience change in your life, if you're tired of staying stuck, if you're tired of wondering when is the victory going to come, then here's my encouragement. Jump in the trench and get in the grind. Because that's where it happens. The fireworks are great. And I love it when we have those moments. But the grind is where character is built. The grind is where Christ is and waiting for you. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you love us. You love us the way that we are, but you love us too much to leave us the way that we were. And God, we know that you're calling us to victory, to transformation, to healing, to hope, to grace, to life change. And so this morning, oh God, before we come to this table, we lay down our sins, our struggles, our fears, our failures at the foot of the cross. Jesus, we know somewhere deep inside each one of us that we need a Lord, we need a leader in our lives, someone to lead us through every day, whether mundane or mountaintop, somebody to lead us to victory. And we thank you that you died on the cross and rose again from the dead to give us new life, and that all you're seeking for us to do is lay down our sins as we have and take you up as our Lord and leader. And so, Jesus, that's our prayer this morning. Be Lord, be the leader in our lives. Lead us through the daily grind that we might arrive at the city of victory, a changed, transformed man or woman of God. And when we know that by faith, when we claim you as Lord, you do just that. And you use these processes like Celebrate Recovery, like renovation small groups, like serving in ministry, to transform our character, that we might become more like you. And we make our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Get out of here. I mean it. Have a great week. God's going to be up to something. Ask him what it is. Join him in whatever that work is. And let your character be built. Have a great week. Be the revolution.